Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is to cut through all the noise about next-gen gaming hardware. We're focusing on what our sources say is the single biggest shift coming down the pike, biofeedback technology. We're looking at some new high-end peripherals, but also, you know, patents filed by companies like Sony. And they seem to be painting a picture for, say, the PlayStation 6 era.
It's a really remarkable stack of sources, you're right. Yeah. And they all point to the same thing, that gaming is this purely passive thing. That's coming to an end. For decades, I mean, ever since we first got Rumble in controllers, the relationship has been one way.
Totally one way. The console sends us stuff, vibrations, sounds, pictures, and we react by consciously pushing buttons.
Exactly. We interpret, and then we act.
But this tech we're looking at, it basically creates a two-way highway, right? The game isn't just talking to us anymore, it's actually starting to listen. Listening to our deepest, most unconscious physiological state.
And that listening process, that's the core of biofeedback in this whole context. It's using biological signals that are completely outside our control. Things like tiny changes in skin temperature, your heart rate, or the electrical activity in your sweat glands. And it uses all that to change the game in real time.
Okay, so let's unpack that, because this seems to be the central thesis from all the patents. If this is the direction we're headed, then the next big leap in immersion. It's not about photorealism. It's not about graphics getting so good they trick our eyes.
No, it's about the game itself being able to, for lack of a better word, empathize with you, with your physical state.
An emotional mirror. That's a great way to put it.
It is. It can detect and react to your actual fear or excitement or frustration. It's not just waiting for you to press the sprint button to know you're panicked. And to really get into that, we have to look at the anatomy of that empathy. How does the controller actually, you know, read you?
Right. Let's get into the tech. Our sources break down three specific sensors embedded right into the controller grips. So it's totally seamless. What's the star player here? Which one is doing the heavy lifting?
That would be the GSR sensor, the galvanic skin response monitor. The sources, I mean, they keep calling it the crown jewel of this tech.
Yeah.
Because it gives this immediate, non-invasive window into your stress and arousal level.
Galvanic skin response. Okay, that sounds very, very high tech. But how does it actually work? What's the science?
Well, it's actually pretty elegant. It just measures the electrical conductivity of your skin. When we experience a strong emotion, fear, excitement, even intense focus, our sweat glands kick into gear. It's a process called electrodermal activity, or EDA.
So we're not talking about, like, dripping sweat that you can see. This is microscopic.
Exactly. But even that microscopic layer of moisture, it dramatically lowers the skin's electrical resistance. The GSR sensor picks up on that spike instantly. So the controller can detect genuine emotional arousal the moment it happens. It logs it as a stress event.
Mm.
You can't fake a GSR spike. You can pretend to jump, but you can't pretend to sweat on command.
Wow. Okay, that instantaneous detection is a game changer. But how precise is it? Can it tell the difference between the cold sweat of being terrified and, say, the intensity of being really locked in on a hard puzzle?
That's a great question. And that's where the other two sensors come in to add context. The GSR just says, hey, arousal happened.
Yeah.
The second sensor is the HRM, the heart rate monitor. So it's tracking your beats per minute.
Which gives you the pace of that arousal.
Correct. And, you know, watch on your wrist is good for resting heart rate. But having the sensor right there in your palms where you have constant contact, it gives a much better reading when you're active. That data tells the software if the arousal is, say, a stable, slightly high BPM for intense focus, or if it's a rapidly climbing erratic BPM, which means, you know, pure panic.
So you've got the shock detection from GSR and the pacing of that shock from the heart rate. And then there's a third layer, which is about physical tension. The muscle pressure sensors.
Yeah. And these are a huge step up from the adaptive triggers we have now. They're built right into the grips and they measure how hard you're squeezing the controller. We all do it right. When we get tense, we white knuckle whatever's in our hands.
So the controller is basically asking, are you holding this loosely or are you trying to crush the plastic in a panic?
Precisely. And that's key because it gives the software a marker for frustration or panic that's separate from your heart rate. So if you get a pressure spike, a high BPM, and a GSR event all at once,
mm-hmm.
The game has a confirmed multi-layered read on what's going on inside your body. It's a complete profile.
The moment you make that jump from the how to the what, this whole thing gets really, really chilling. Because up until now, the great horror game directors, you know, the minds behind Silent Hill or Amnesia, They were flying blind. They could only guess when you were scared.
They had to guess. Now they know.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate audience measurement. No more ambiguity. And the most obvious application for this, the one the sources all talk about, is dynamic terror pacing. Basically, an AI director that feeds on your fear.
Okay, let's run a hypothetical. Let's say I'm playing some new, super realistic horror game. I'm in a dark hallway. What's this AI director doing with my bio data?
It's trying to keep you in that perfect flow state of terror. It's a constant balancing act. So if you're just wandering around for 5 minutes looking for a key and your heart rate is low, the AI registers boredom. The game then intervenes. Maybe the lights dim just a little bit more. Maybe you hear a floorboard creak upstairs. Just something to re-engage your nervous system.
So it's actively managing my engagement level and never wants me to get comfortable. But wait, did the sources talk about this feeling, I don't know, manipulative? If the AI is just timing every scare perfectly, am I still really in control? Is it still my experience?
That's the friction, absolutely. And the key is that balance. The AI's main job isn't just to scare you, it's to keep you playing, which is why it works both ways. If the sensors detect that you are genuinely panicking, let's say your heart rate is at 140 for 20 seconds straight and your palms are sweating, the AI director might actually show you some mercy.
Mercy in a horror game? What does that even look like?
Well, it could mean the enemy that's hunting you patrols a little slower for a moment. Or you get an extra 2 seconds to solve a puzzle before the door bursts open. Just a little nudge to pull you back from the brink of quitting in frustration.
Which is the goal of all good game design, right?
Yeah.
Challenge, not frustration. But this system also has a hardcore alternative mode, which sounds a lot less forgiving.
It is. In hardcore mode, it's the complete opposite. Your fear becomes a weakness the game can exploit. That sweat on your hands, the EDA spike, the game could translate that into a digital smell. So now, enemies are literally drawn to your fear. The more scared you get, the more enemies show up. Your fear is no longer just a feeling. It's a resource the game is actively using against you.
And the ultimate twist is when this personalization just shatters the fourth wall. There's one specific idea in our sources that is just unforgettable.
Oh, yeah. Imagine a psychological thriller. The main villain isn't just threatening your character. They stop, they pause, and the game pulls your actual user data. The villain looks right at the screen, says your real name. Why are you shaking, Majid? And then they reference your bio data. I can hear your heart pounding, you know.
Ugh. The impact of that is just, it's immense. It completely dissolves that safe barrier of the screen. We rely on that separation. But if the bad guy in the game knows what my body is doing in my living room, that safety is gone.
The feeling is that you are exposed, not just your avatar. And that raises the psychological stakes enormously.
So biofeedback completely redefines horror. But the discussion in our deep dive, it goes way beyond just jump scares. We have to look at action games, RPGs, where this tech introduces a whole new idea. The idea that emotional control is no longer a soft skill. It's a hard, quantifiable part of your mastery of the game.
Absolutely. The old definition of skill is all mechanical, right? Reflexes, timing, muscle memory. This adds a new layer. An internal physiological mastery. You have to conquer yourself before you can conquer the game.
The sniper mechanic they propose for tactical shooters is a perfect example. Anyone who's played a realistic shooter knows you have to hold your breath to steady a shot.
Right. Now, imagine your rifle's aim is directly tied to your heart rate data from the HRM. If you just sprinted across a field to get into cover, or you're nervous because it's a 1v1 clutch, your crosshair is going to shake and vibrate wildly. It simulates that real adrenaline dump.
Which changes everything. It's not enough to just press the aim button anymore. Your actual physical state determines if you succeed.
Exactly. To steady the aim, the player has to physically calm down. You have to consciously slow your breathing, lower your BPM, and only then will the software give you a steady shot. It's taking a real-world consequence of stress and building it right into the gameplay.
And this reminds me of the frustration in really hard games, like the Souls-like genre. Stamina is everything, and every single player knows the feeling of panic rolling.
Oh, panic rolling. Spamming the dodge button when a boss surprises you, and then you're out of stamina and completely vulnerable. It's the classic example of losing your cool and making a mechanical mistake because of it.
So how does biofeedback punish that, more than the game already does, I mean?
This is where the muscle pressure sensors come back in. If the system detects that telltale panic grip you squeezing the controller for dear life, it applies an instant penalty. Your in-game stamina bar could drain at, say, double the speed, or take longer to recover. It's simulating the real exhaustion that comes with fear, making the punishment for emotional failure immediate.
This tech is It's undeniably revolutionary from a design standpoint, but any tech that collects this much personal data has to be looked at with a lot of skepticism. Which brings us to a huge section in our sources, the massive ethical questions here. Physiological data is the new oil.
And it raises some really profound privacy issues. I mean, where does all this deeply personal data go? If a platform holder is collecting billions of data points on heart rates and GSR spikes, they're building an emotional map of their entire user base that is just unprecedented.
So a company could build a database that profiles users as what, easily frustrated by high difficulty or highly susceptible to jump scares.
That mapping is the real scary part. It's not just about what games you buy. It's about how you feel moment to moment when you play them. And the advertising implications are maybe the most chilling part of all this.
Okay, break that down. Let's say the system knows I just finished a really intense online match. High energy, high heart rate, I'm sweating.
The dashboard could immediately interpret that state. High energy expenditure, you need to recover. And boom, it serves you an ad perfectly tailored to that verified physical state. An energy drink, maybe deodorant?
Or the other way around. If it detects I'm lethargic, you know, low heart rate when I should be active, or I'm getting frustrated and then I go idle, could it suggest a food delivery app? Or, I don't know, an ad for a movie service to help me chill out.
The second a corporation can map your live emotional state to a product, the line between entertainment and surveillance just, it vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
This is perfectly targeted advertising, driven by your verified unconscious feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Our sources really stress this. Biometric privacy is the final frontier of our digital rights. It's the hardest data to make anonymous.
And that context is so important, especially when you look back. This isn't the first time a company has tried something like this. Gaming historians will remember Nintendo's attempt, what, over a decade ago?
The Wii Vitality Sensor. Back in 2009, it was this little finger clamp thing to measure your pulse. But the problem, as our sources detail, was that it was clunky and inconsistent. You had to attach this separate, almost medical-looking device.
And they ended up canceling it. The tech just wasn't reliable enough to build a game around.
Exactly. And the key difference now, the sources argue, is that this new approach is invisible. It's seamless. By building the sensors right into a standard controller, like a DualSense, it becomes a passive, required part of the experience. It's not an optional gimmick. And that passive nature is what makes it so powerful, but also what makes the privacy questions so urgent.
It really does change the entire landscape. When you synthesize all this, you realize gaming has spent years conquering our external senses. We conquered the eyes with photorealism, the ears with 3D audio, and touch with haptics.
Biofeedback is about conquering the self. It's moving past what you see and hear and going straight to what you actually feel.
And this tech transforms games from something you just consume into a true physiological dialogue. It promises higher highs, more thrilling moments, and, well, much scarier lows.
But that intimacy leads to the ultimate question that the source material leaves us with. When the controller is reading your body and the software is adjusting itself to your emotional state, who is really in control? Is it you? Or is it the machine manipulating your internal state to keep you playing?
And we're going to leave you with that thought today, because it's something we all need to think about before this tech is everywhere. Would you run out and buy a controller that knows your deepest fears? Or is your heartbeat private property?